Today's daf is Chulin Daf Nun Zayin. We are holding on Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis. We just read the Mishnah of Eluk Sheiros Bof, and we're about to begin the Gemara. At the very bottom of Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis, we're going to discuss what happens if an animal's intestines come out. So we said that's one of the things that are Sheiros Bof, if the intestines come out. But we're going to learn if you flip those intestines before they go back in, that's going to be a trefa. So we're going to have an unbelievable story relating to flipped intestines and how to make sure, sorry, just catching my breath here, how to make sure that they don't become flipped. And then we're going to discuss the trefos of the leg bones and the gidin of the animals and of birds. And we're going to go through a little bit of the anatomy of the legs of animals and birds. We're also going to talk about the lungs of birds and whether they're different than the lungs of the animals. We're also going to talk about the tzomas hagidin, and if the tzomas hagidin gets cut or it becomes a yerech of an oaf, becomes dislocated, what the halachic status of that's going to be, and that's going to take us through the first half of Amud Beis as well. And then in the middle of Amud Beis, we're going to learn a little bit about Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta. One of the unique things about Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta was that he was someone who liked to conduct experiments. So we're going to learn about some of the experiments that Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta conducted to test sort of the Divrei Chazal or even the Divrei Tanakh to see if it's, or to demonstrate the truth of the of various Masoras that we have. And then at the very end of the daf, not sure if we'll get to it today, we're going to have five different shitos of how to determine when you have a suffix trefa, if the animal is in fact a trefa. I mean, if an animal is still alive, but it went through some sort of episode and you're not sure if it's a trefa or not, so what are the things to look at to see if the animal is in fact a trefa or not? So those are the discussions we're going to have today. Let's begin right after the mission of the Gemara on daf, Nun Vav Amud Beis. So says Gemara Tanur Rabbanan. Ma'aser Rabbi Simai Rabbi Tzadik Shalch La'aber Shana B'Lud. One time, Rabbi Simai and Rabbi Tzadik were going to be ma'aber the Shana in Lud. They were going to add an extra Adar into the year. So I guess that's a definite coincidence, as we're about to embark on Chodesh Adar in a Shana Mudares. V'shavsu ba'ono, and they stayed in a place called Ono, which is on the way to Lud. V'horu, and while they were traveling in that direction, they gave up sakalacha b'tarpachas kirebi b'zefek, about a tarpachas, which we learned is one of the words that means a rechem, that if the rechem is removed from a bird, they paskind the same way Rebbe paskins by a zefek. So that's a little bit unclear. What does that mean? What exactly did they paskin? Did they paskin kosher? Did they paskin trefa? So the shaila was raised. Horu b'tarpachas li'isura kerebi b'zefek lehetera. Is this two separate statements? That number one, they paskin by tarpachas li'isura, that's a problem, that's going to be a trefa. And also they paskin like Rebbe by a zefek lehetera, that they're willing to be makil in a case of nitala zefek like Rebbe does. Odil, more maybe no. Maybe we meant to say that it's one statement. Horu b'tarpachas lehetera kerebi b'zefek. That just like Rebbe was makel when it's nital azefek, they were makel when it was nital hatarpachas, when it was nital arechem. Aval karebi bezefek lasirilahu, but to actually hold like Rebbe holds bezefek, that far they didn't go. So they didn't actually hold like Rebbe holds when it comes to azefek. So teiku, the Gemara leaves that shaila unresolved. We don't know what exactly the psak was of Rabbi Simai and Rabbi Tzadik. It's also somewhat confusing to try to figure out why we need the background, the context of the story, that they had to go to be ma'aber the Shana. In the end of the days of the Tanaim, the Chachma Yisrael, they had to go to Galil because of the gzeros that existed in Yehuda, but by Ibur Shana and Kiddush HaChodesh, they would go back to Yehuda. Right? That's din in Mesech Sanhedrin, Daf Yud Aleph. So that's what's going on over here. Lod and Ono are cities that are Mekav Schom and Mos Yeshua Ben Nun that were given to the Levim as Ne'ir Migrash by Shevet Binyamin, and they are 3 mil apart from each other. This is all in the Gemara Ksuba stuff, Kuf Yir Alef and Beis. And so they're called Ono and Lud Shabi Yehuda, because in the entire Nachlas Binyamin is considered to be part of Yehuda, as opposed to the Nachla of the other Shvatim, which is called Galil. So they were traveling for that purpose. But why? In what way does that relate to the Nital HaRechem, the Rechem being taken out of the bird? So there is a discussion in some of the Achronim about why this would even be a Machlokes. meaning just check, see what happens when it's nital arechem, see if the animal dies, see if the animal is able to survive. So one of the achronim suggests that no, the Torah, the mitzius is going to be defined by the halacha. That that's what the koach, the chamim have, that when they pass an halacha, so that's what makes it so. And that's why they dafka picked the case of, they went to be ma'abr shana. It tells us the context of going to be ma'abr shana. Why? Because there's a discussion in the Rishonim, based on the Yerushalmi, that we know the halacha is that a girl who's under 3 years old, that Rachman al-Tzlan, if something happens to her, that someone has bia with her, so the basulim comes back. If she's over 3 years old, the basulim doesn't come back. What if her birthday was slated to be Rosh Chodesh Nisan, let's say, and then the Chacham added an extra Adar. So she would have turned 3, but now she's got a whole extra month before she turns 3. So now her Basulim is Chosrim, because it's up to the Chachamim to make that that determination. So that's what the Rishon, the Rashi, and Taras Abayis quotes from the Yerushalmi, that the Chachamim have the ability to manipulate nature. That's that Kadosh Baruch Hu is istakel baraisa ubara alma. But to take it a step further, not only Kadosh Baruch Hu is istakel baraisa ubara alma, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave that koach of the olam to fit itself into the araisa, into the Torah. So maybe that's why that comes up in this context. But that would be a very great chiddush. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabba v'item Rabbi Shua ben Levi, gago shel zefek nidon kaveshet. The very top of the zefek, which is where the food goes after it goes through the veshet, the very top of the zefek that connects to the veshet has the same malachic status of the veshet, and therefore if it has a hole in it, even a little bit, it's going to be a trefa, just like in the kivas haveshet would make the animal a trefa. So heicha, where is the gago shel zefek that has the status of the veshet? I'm Rabbi Barbari, called Shenimtach Imo. That's where it starts to narrow and starts to take the shape of the veshet. That's where it has the din of the veshet. Good. Then the Mishnah had said Yatsu b'nei me'echa, that if the animal's intestines come out but are not punctured, so it's going to be a kosher. It's not going to be a trefa. So I'm Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yitzchak Lashon Olshul Hipech Behem. That's only if the intestines were not inverted in any way. They were not flipped around. Aval hipech behen. But if the intestines were muhupach in one way or another, they were flipped around in one way or the other, trefa. Then the animal is going to be a trefa. Dichsiv, because the pasuk says that in Shiras Hazina, the Moshe was telling Klal Yisrael, was being mochiach Klal Yisrael, and he was saying, Alei tigmulu zos, am novel v'lo chacham, halo avicha kanecha, it says, Hu ascha veichona neka. So what does that mean? Hu ascha veichona neka. So Chazal understand that that relates to God's creation of man. Melamit shabara Hakadosh Baruch Hu konenius ba'adam. Hakadosh Baruch Hu created sort of these places in a person where everything belongs. These like slots in the human body where the various organs belong, shim nepach achas mehen, and if anything is moved away from the slot where it belongs, einu yachalichyo, so the human is not going to be able to live. So the same is true with the me'ayin, that it's supposed to be in a certain slot in the body that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created for it, and even if it comes out of the stomach, if it could be replaced right back where it belongs, it would be fine, the person would be able to get healthy and live again. But if you flip them around and they're not put directly back in their slot, then that's a trait. There's not going to be any refuah from that. So Tanya Hayra Meir Omer, Hu Ascha Veichananecha, he says, no, that's not about the human body, but rather Kracha de Kulabe. It's about Klal Yisrael. That Klal Yisrael is like a krach. It's like a big city where you have everything there. You know, when you have these little villages, so this little village has a doctor, and the next one has a lawyer, and the next one has, a lawyer wasn't such an important profession, but I'm saying the next one has something that, a general store, and the next one, meaning each little village has its own thing, but no little village could possibly have everything that it needs. But a krach, you have a big city. A big city has everything that you need. That's why when people started moving to big cities, the arts took off and people were able to, because not everyone had to do everything. You had a fire department that took care of the fires, you had a police department that took care of that, you had people to take care of all sorts of different things, so that freed up other people to do other things. So krach has everything. It has kula bay. So mimenu kohanav, mimenu neviyav, mimenu sarav, mimenu melachav, so too Klal Yisrael. We have everything we need within the Jewish people. Kohanim come from Klal Yisrael, and Neviim and Sarim and Melachim, All of that comes from Klal Yisrael. Shenemer, mimenu finu, mimenu yasev. That in the pasuk goes on, mimenu keshas milchama, mimenu yetze kol noges yachtav, that the Navi Zechariah is being misnave, and the Beis Yehuda, that lasadavo, kings and officers and people who fight wars, we're not going to have to hire outside help to fight our battles, because we're going to have it within Klal Yisrael. That's what the pasuk means, so it's not really necessarily about the human body. But, we said, if it is about the human body, what it's telling us is this very halacha, that if something gets flipped around, that if the Bnei Me'ayim get flipped around, then they are no longer going to be able to keep the person alive. So, Ahura Ma'ad, Chazilu Gavr, Denafel Me'igra La'ara. The Gemara tells a story related to that. There was a Roman who saw a person fall from a roof to the ground. So Pake Karse Venofik Mayane. His stomach opened up and his intestines spilled out. So he knew he had to get them back in, but he knew that if he picks them up and puts them back in, he's not going to put them back in the right way. And if you don't put them back in exactly in the right way, then the person's never going to have a refuah. So he had to figure out a way to make them naturally return to their place. So Asi Lebrave Shachte Kame. He brought the fellow who had fallen, and shechted the son in front of him, but it was all a magic trick. He just made it look like he was shechting the son. He wasn't actually killing the son. But the guy thought he was killing his son. So in Gidvitnach, he groaned, oi! And when he groaned, he inhaled, I guess, and ol lemayane v'chayte lekrese. And the intestines jumped back into his stomach, and they went back naturally into the place that they're supposed to go, and then he was able to sew him up, he stitched him up, and he was fine. So that was his trick in order to be able to get him to be able to have a refuah. The Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out there's a Gemara Maseches Megillah. The Gemara tells us that in the sugya of Chayav Inish Lusume B'Paraya D'Layad Ben Arham L'Baruch Mordechai, that one year there was a lot of drinking at the Suda of Rabbah and Rabbi Zeira. Come Rabbah v'shachted Rabbi Zeira. That Rabbah got up and he shachted Rabbi Zeira. That's the story that appears in Megillah, and the Gemara says that the next year he invited him then he was Mavakesh Rachamim and he brought him back to life, and then the next year he invited him again and he said, no, not every year is a nace going to happen. So the Marsha over there writes that it's a dover tomua to be mefarish that story kipshuto, that it can't be that he actually murdered him and then in his drunkenness and then brought him back to life. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden says no, probably what happened is similar to what it says over here in our Gemara, that he probably saw that the simcha was getting out of hand and that you're not supposed to have too much simcha in this world. You have to make sure that things remain somewhat serious. So in order to be ma'atziv the people, in order to bring down the simcha, to give a little bit of sadness to the event, come Rabba v'shachted Rabbi Zeira b'achiza seinayim. He made it look like Rabbi Zeira was shachted. Why then did he need to do tchias ha-mesim? Now, achye doesn't mean tchias ha-mesim. Achye means that someone is ill and you nurse him back to health. Rabbi Zeira himself got frightened. It looked so real. It looked so genuine. He thought, oh my gosh, am I actually dying? So Rabbi Zeira fainted. So he needed to splash some water on his face and to wake him up. So that's what it means that he did tchias ha-mesim. But it can't be that he actually killed him. There is a discussion in the Sefer Mishkanos Yisrael whether you're allowed to do a Maisa v'achizas einayim for the sake of refuah. Meaning, let's say there's an isser of kishuf or some related isser. Are you allowed to do a Maisa Avera for the sake of refuah? Is this called a refuah beduka or is it not called a refuah beduka? So the Achronim discussed specifically based on the fact that the Gemara makes a point of saying that it was a Roman who did this, that it was not a Jew who did this. So maybe that's an indication that a Jew would not have been allowed to do this because it's not really a refuah beduka. This is just using some type of skula, some type of magic in order to achieve that refuah. Okay, now we're going to get into the discussion of trefos that relate to the legs of an animal. So a little bit of the anatomy of an animal. There are three bones in the legs of an animal, and in general when the Gemara talks about legs of an animal, the four legs are the adayim and the hind legs are the raglayim. Even though animals don't have hands, that's the way we refer to it. By a bird, obviously a bird only has 2 feet, so those are the raglayim, and the wings are like whatever the halachas would be by the four legs. So the legs of an animal typically have three bones. There's the bone that's called the arkuva, which is the bottom bone of the leg. Then there's the shok, which is the middle bone, and then there's the yerech, which is the upper bone. And the same is true by all four legs of an animal. By an oaf, like we said, you have the wings. corresponding to the yadayim of a behema. So says the Gemara. Nishtabru ragleha. The Mishnah said that if the animal's legs are broken, it is still kosher. If the bird's legs are broken, that's part of the eluk sheros shebaof. So says the Gemara. Hahu tsana di inkure. There was a basket of birds that whose legs were broken in the bottom bone of the leg or in the middle bone of the leg, but it didn't go out from the basar. It was still encapsulated inside the basar. Dasi the kamei the Rava, and they came to Rava. Badke Rava b'tzomas hagidin. Rava checked the tzomas hagidin, the place where the gidim are attached, all of it together, and he found that all 16 gidim that it needs are there. So va'achshrei. So he was machshrei. He said it's perfectly fine. Am Rav Yudah Amar Rav shmutas yad v'behema k'shera. That if one of the four legs of an animal is dislocated from the shoulder, so then by a behema it's kosher. Shmutas yarech by behema trefa. If one of the hind legs are dislocated, then it's a trefa. Shmutas yarech ba'of trefa. If one of the legs of the oaf are dislocated, it's a trefa. Shmutas gaf ba'of. But if the upper part of the bone of the wing is dislocated, trefa, it's a trefa. Because chayshinan shemanikva hareya. Why is it that the bird is different than the behema? I thought we said before the wings of a bird are the parallel to the four legs of a behema. For not F-O-U-R, but F-O-R-E, the front legs of the behema. So why is it that shmutas, the front legs of a behema are going to be kshera? Shmutas yad of a behema is going to be kshera, and by the bird, the shmutas gaf is going to be a trefa, because the way the bird's anatomy is set up is that the wings are very close to the lungs, and we're worried that if there was a dislocation of the wing, it probably affected the lung, and that's what made it a trefa. Ushmol Amr Tibadek. Shmol says, just check the lung, see if it has a hole in it or not, and if it doesn't, then it should be fine. V'chinam Rabbi Yochanan Tibadek, and Rabbi Yochanan said the same thing. You could just do an examination of the lung and see if it has a hole in it or not. Chizkia Amar Ein Re'a La'of. Chizkia had this great chiddush that a bird doesn't have lungs. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Yeshlo V'yeshna Kol Shel Vered. He said, what are you talking about? Of course it has lungs, and it looks red like a rose. Beinak Payim, and it's between the wings of the bird, inside the rib cage of the bird. So my ein rei laof. What did Chizkia mean when he said that a bird doesn't have a lung? You probably shouldn't be paskening hilchos trefus if you don't know that a bird has a lung. So Yilei, let's say klal. If it means that it simply doesn't have a lung at all, v'kachazina d'islei. We know that that's not true. We know that it has a lung. Elo delo mitrof bei. What Chizkia meant to say is that the bird does not become a trefa when there's a hole in its lung. I vatani Levi, but didn't Levi teach us yesterday that trefel shemanu chacham bebehema kinegdan ba'of, that all the trefels that apply to a behema apply to an oaf as well? Yasser alein oaf nishbar etzem af plishlonikev krom shalmach. It's just that an oaf has additional trefels, such as a bone breaking, even though the krum shel moach, the skull breaking, even though the krum shel moach doesn't get cut in any way, that would be a trefa by an oaf, even though by a behema, that would not be a trefa. So nekivas hareya, a puncture of the lung, which would be a trefa by a behema, should be a trefa by an oaf as well. So how can Chizkia say that there's no lung by an oaf, even if all he means is that it's not going to be a trefa when there's a hole in the lung? Ela ein lo lo linafel. But what he really means to say, what Chizkia really means to say, is that there's no dina trefos of a lung that if it falls from a roof, that you don't have to check the lung, but you do have to check the other internal organs. Velo lechamer, or if it fell into a fire, you don't have to check the lung to see if the lung is discolored, like we learned about yesterday, that if an animal goes into a fire, they have to check for discoloration. The lung you don't have to check. The other evarim epinimim you have to check. My time. Well, what's the reason that you don't need bedika of the lung if the animal fell or the animal went into a fire? So Amar Rav Chana, Hovel v'rov tzalaseha meginos seleha. The way the rib cage of a bird is set up is different than a behema. That the ribs are set up in a way where they're aligned, where the width of the rib actually protects the whatever's inside of it. So it's not just the narrow part of the rib that protects what's inside of it. It's the width of the rib that the way it lies in the bird that protects what's inside of it. And therefore, if it falls into a fire, it falls from a roof, we're not so worried that its lung is going to get punctured. It's very well protected inside of the animal, inside of the bird.
V'amida Amar Rabbi Yochanan Yeshlo V'yeshna Kalashal Vered Bein Akpayim Mechal D'chizkiya Sever Leslay. But says more, but wait a second, that's not what the conversation sounded like. Meaning we're teaching up Chizkiya. Chizkiya said, oh, there's no, a bird doesn't have any lungs. So we're teaching him up to mean, it means that if a bird falls, you don't have to check the lungs. But of course, a bird has a lung, and of course, every trefa that you would have by the lung of an animal, you have by the lung of a bird as well. It's not what it said, though. What actually happened in the conversation was that Rabbi Yochanan responded to Chizkiya by saying, of course a bird has a lung, and I'll tell you what it looks like. Makes it sound like Chizkiya really held that a bird does not have a lung. Ella Amri b'Ma'arava, so in Eretz Yisrael they explain, Mishmeid Rabbi Yosef b'Chanina, Dvarav Shel Beribi, that they explained the Shita of Chizkiya. Chizkiya was called Beribi because he was the Gadol Adar. He was considered someone very prominent. Nikar Shel She'eno Baki B'Tarnagolin. So Midvarav Shel Beribi, Nikar She'eno Baki B'Tarnagolin. You see from Chizkiya's comment that he obviously didn't know Tarnagolin very well. He didn't know the anatomy of birds very well, so he didn't know that they had a lung. So he made a mistake. He thought Tarnagolim don't have a lung. That's what they, how they explained in Eretz Yisrael, which is unbelievable to assume that that's the... That was the assumption. So and Rabbi Yochanan tells him, yes, they do have a lung, and he explains what the lung looks like. So the Drisha in Yardei Siminun Beis writes that it's impossible. What they're saying in Eretzel is impossible. It can't be that Chizkiya was being Dorish L'Rabim, a halacha, without being choker at all, without examining at all what the metzius of the din is. And you have to say that he heard from his Rebbeim that there's no Ein Re'a La'of, that he had some sort of Mesorah like that, and therefore he didn't think that it was necessary to be choker. But he didn't understand what his Rebbeim said, meaning all they really meant is what they said in Bavel. But he was just repeating what his Rebbeim said, not realizing that they couldn't have possibly meant that a bird doesn't have a lung at all. That's how the Drisha explains. The Chassam Sofer writes that Chizkiya also knew that there is what we call a lung in a bird, but he also knew that the lungs of a bird look nothing like the lungs of an animal. And maybe that's what he was trying to say. He understood, obviously, that a bird breathes and therefore needs the functionality of a lung, says the Chassam Sofer, but he thought it doesn't have the same dinim as the lung of an animal because it looks so different. So even though that's its functionality, its dinim are going to be entirely different, because maybe the teva of the lung of a bird is different than the teva of the lung of anything else. It's just interesting that that's what appears in Amar Al, that you have Chizkiya saying that there's no such thing as a lung, and in Eretz Yisrael they say, yeah, he just never checked and he never saw what was inside. And then on Amud Beis we're going to have someone who goes to the other extreme, that no matter what the Mesorah Chazal give us is, he who examines everything and looks for all the mitzvahs. So we'll get there when we get there. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna Marav, Shmutas Yarech Ba'of Ksheira. If the Yarech becomes dislocated on the Oaf, then it is kosher. Amar Le Rav Bar Rav Huna V'Rav Huna V'Rabbanan Dasam B'Pumadisa Amru. But the Rabbanan who came from Pumadisa told us, Rav Yudah Meshmei De Rav Amar Shmutas Yarech Ba'of Trefa, that a dislocated Yarech and an Oaf is a Trefa. Amar Le Bri Nahara Nahara U'Pashtei. That just like there are different rivers that flow in different directions, so too, the minig of different places is different from each other. Rav really held that it's kshera. It's just that he saw Bnei Pumbadisa were knowing Isser, so he also wasn't matir in front of them. So they got the impression that he held trefa, but it was really they who held trefa, and he just didn't want to do different than them. Rabbi Yehuda, who's in Pumbadisa, since he saw Rav that was not matir, he thought that Rav said it was a trefa. So he paskined in the name of Rav that it's a trefa. But don't worry, Rav really held it was kshera. So says Mar Azul Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Abba went Ashkei to Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba de Kabadik b'tzomas hagidin, and he saw Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba was checking the tzomas hagidin of an oaf, the place where the gidin are attached together, to see if they're intact, to see if it's a trefa or not. So Rabbi Abba said to Rabbi Yirmiyah, "Lamalei lemar kulehai? Why are you bothering to check the gidim?" Rav Huna Marav Shmutas Yarech Ba'ov Kshera. Rav Huna Marav says that even if the entire Yarech is dislocated, it's going to be kosher. So Kol Shekein, if the regal is still in place and it's only the Tzomas Hagidin that's Nital, it's going to be kosher. So why do you have to check the Tzomas Hagidin? So Amalei, Anamas Nisan Yadani, he says, Rabbi Yirmiyah says back, look, I know what the Mishnah says. And the Mishnah says, Behema Shenechdechu Raglea Min Arkuva Lamata Ksheira Min Arkuva Lamayla Psula V'chein Shenitel Tzomas Hagidin. That if Nitel Tzomas Hagidin, even though the entire bone is intact, Nitel Tzomas Hagidin is enough to make it a treifa. So that's why I check. V'amar Rav Ala V'chein Ba'of. And I also know that Rav said that statement is not only true by a behema, it's true by an oaf as well. That if the Tzomas Hagidin is Nital, then it is going to be a treifa, even though the Yerech is totally Kayam. It's still going to be a treifa. So that's why I'm checking the Tzomas Hagidin. So asks Rabbi Abba Rabbi Yirmiyah, Ihachi, if that's what Rav really said, well then Kasha Derav Adrav. Well then have a steer within Rav. Because Rav Huna said in the name of Rav that Nishmat Kala Yerech, the oaf is going to be kosher. And now Rav himself says that even by an oaf, if Nital Tzomas Hagidin, it's going to be a treifa. So if Kala Yerech is Nital, it's going to be kosher. How could it be that if Nital Tzomas Hagidin, that it's going to be a treifa? So Ishtik, Rabbi Yirmiyah didn't respond. He didn't bother responding. Sometimes you have Ishtik that he didn't have what to say, and sometimes you have Ishtik that he had what to say, but he didn't bother saying it. Over here, it's that he didn't bother saying it. So that's what Tos explains, at least in Shitas Rashi. Tos himself explains that Rabbi Yirmiyah forgot the answer, and that's why he was Shasak. So you have both possibilities over here of why exactly he was Ishtik. But he didn't say anything back. So I'm later, Rabbi Abba said to Rabbi Yirmiyah, oh, maybe here's the answer. Maybe this is how we can be Miyashiv Rav. Dilma Shani Le Ben Shmut L'Chatucha. Maybe there's a difference between a dislocation and a severing, a cutting, that makes the difference. A Chatucha is a Trefa, even if only the Tzomas Hagidin is Chatuch. But if it's Nishmat, if something is dislocated, so then maybe even the entire Yerach being dislocated will not make it a Trefa. Maybe that's how we could resolve Rav. You think you're the one that's coming up with how to explain Rav this way? Rav said that explicitly. That exact distinction. And don't wonder why that could be, that if it's just the Tzomas Hagidim, if it's Chatucha, that that's going to make it a treifa, yet the entire Yerech Shmuta, that that's not going to be a treifa. No, you can't always figure these things. You cut an animal on one part of its body and it's perfectly fine. You make that same incision on a different part of its body and the animal dies. So it's just the way the anatomy is made up, that different parts of the body react to traumas and to cutting and to dislocating and to severing in different ways. He Salik Rabbi Abba, when Rabbi Abba went from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, remember like we learned yesterday, Salik always means that he went to Eretz Yisrael, he went up. Ashkel Rabbi Zeira, he saw Rabbi Zeira, who had previously moved to Eretz Yisrael. They were both from, Rabbi Zeira and Rabbi Abba were both from Babel. They both went to Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Zeira went first. So the Yosef Kamer, and he saw Rabbi Zeira was teaching, Amar Avuna Rav, Shmutas Yarech Ba'of, Trefa. In the name of Rav, that Shmutas Yarech of an Oaf is a Trefa. So Malay, Chai Demar, Miyoma de Salik Mar Lahacha, after you went from Babel and you came to Eretz Yisrael, Havlon Pischon Pek Hamed Ravuna, there was a story where we had a conversation in front of Ravuna, and he goes through the entire conversation in the Gemara. V'she'ilne, and I asked him, V'amar Lan, Shmutas Yarech Ba'of Ksheira, and he told us that Shmutas Yarech of an Oaf is Kosher. V'ashkachte Nami L'Rabbi Yirmiyah Barabba de Yosef Kabadik B'Tzomas Hagidin, and I saw Rabbi Yirmiyah Barabba was checking the Tzomas Hagidin to check for trefos. V'akshile, and I asked him, Lo Sov Lomar, Hadam Ravuna Marav Shmutas Yarech Ba'of Ksheira? Don't you hold that Shmutas Yarech Ba'of is Kosher? Amali, Anamas Nisan Yadana. He says, no, I only know what it says in the Mishnah. V'hema Shenechtko Raglem and Arkuva Lamat is a treifa. And I know that Rav said that that's true by a bird as well. So I said to Rabbi Yirmiyah, then you have a stira between Rav, one thing Rav says and another thing Rav says. Ishtik, and then he was quiet, he didn't respond. So I suggested, maybe Rav distinguishes between dislocated and severed. You think you're the one that's explaining Rav Shita Beferish Am Rav Shmuta Ksheira Chatucha Psula. Rav said so explicitly. Vat Ma Biyadcha. So now says Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba says, Rabbi Zeira, what did you hear about this that you're saying differently, that you're doing differently? Meaning he repeated the entire conversation that they had in Babel. So why is it that Rabbi Zeira was saying in the name of Rav that Shmutas Yarech Ba'of is a trefa? We just said, no, Rav held that Tzumas Hagidin being Nechtach is a trefa. But Shmutas Yarech Ba'of is Kshera. So Hachi Amar Rabbi Chia Barashi. So Rabbi Zeira responded, here's what I know. Hachi Amar Rabbi Chia Barashi Amar Rav, Shmutas Yarech Ba'of trefa. That both in the name of Rav and the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Shmutas Yarech of an Oaf is going to be Treifa. You know, if Rabbi Yochanan would have been there, when he would have seen the type of chachamim, the group of rabbis that paskin v'hakel on this, he never would have been able to say otherwise. He never would have been able even to be merames, even to raise a hand to be merames that he has any problem with it, because those people who were matir were gedolei olam, and if he was there, he would have been terrified to say anything different. Why? Who were the people that were matir? Dam Rabbi Chanina Amar Rebbe Shmutas Yarech Ba'ov Ksheva V'Tarnagolas Haisulol Rabbi Chanina. And Rabbi Chanina actually had a Tarnagolas that had Shmutas Hayarech. And they brought it to Rabbi V'Tiralo, and Rabbi was Matir. Umolcha Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina was so excited that Rabbi was Matir, and this Shaila, that he salted it in order to preserve it. And that way he was able to show the halacha to Talmidim, and he was able to say, Zehitili Rabbi, Zehitili Rabbi. Look where Rabbi was Matir. Shmutas Yarech, on an oath, Rabbi was Matir. Says the Gemara, Veles Hilchsa. We don't pass on the Maisa like any of these teachings that Shmutas Yarech Ba'of is kosher. Ela kiha. Rather, we pass on like the Shmua that we said that Shmutas Yarech Ba'of is a treifa. And the Shal Rabbi Yosef ben Arai is Rabbi Shuban Levi. The Shmua goes, Rabbi Yosef ben Arai asks Rabbi Shuban Levi, Kederas Kana, a Kana that's missing, like a window is cut out of the Kana, Bekama. How large of a window that's cut out of the Kana would make the animal a treifa? So Amalor, Rabbi Shuban Levi said to Rabbi Yosef ben Urai, Mishnah Shleim Ashaninu. It's a Mishnah that on Daf Nun Dalet that said Ad Ki Isare Italki. So Amalo, so he asked him, I but Valo Rachel Achas Heisul B'Shchunasenu. We had a Rachel once in our neighborhood, Sheniktar Koneshala, that had exactly this issue. It was the size of an Isare Italki, and it was a hole in the Kana, Va'asu La Krumin Shel Kana, and they made like a patch out of a Kana of another animal, the chaisa, and through that the animal had a refua. So Amalo, Valda at Samech. You're being Samech on that you saw that it had a refua. Valo Allah Ravachas Bisol, Shmutas Yarech Ba'of Trefa. You know, there's also halacha that Shmutas Yarech Ba'of is Trefa, and everyone accepts that halacha, and that's the reason we're bringing this Maisa, because he's saying it like matter of factly, that everyone accepts Shmutas Yarech Ba'of is a Trefa, and yet, Afal Pikain, Vitarnagoldas Haisalal Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta, Shnishpta Yarech Shala, Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta had a Tarnagoldas that had Shmutas Yarech, Vasala Shvoferes Shalkana. And they made like a tube to sort of patch it up to keep the bone in place. V'chaisa. And the animal seemed to have a refuah. Got better. So how could you say that? It's a trefa. Within 12 months, it may look like it's rebounding. It may look like it's getting better. It may look like it's getting stronger. But it will always die within 12 months. So if we have a Kabbalah that something is a trefa, yeah, you could patch it up and it will look like it's healing. It will look like it's getting better. But I assure you, if you wait the full 12 months, you're going to see that it's going to die. So that's what the experiment Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta did. Now, once we mention that experiment of Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta, the Gemara mentions other experiments of Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta as well. Amru Lavel Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta Sha'askon B'dvarim Haya. He was someone who was very involved in experimenting. Vayaosa Davar Lahotzi Milibu Shal Rabbi Yehuda. And he did something to be Motzi Milibu Shal Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Shai Rabbi Yehuda Omer Im Nitla Notzer Psula. Rabbi Yehuda said that if the notza, part of the wing of the bird, the feather by the wing, is removed, that's the part that keeps the bird warm, it's going to trafe up the bird. He had such a tarnagolas where the notza was removed, v'hinicha bitanur, and he put it in the oven that it shouldn't be cold to warm it, v'tala aleha b'matlis shel tarsim, and he took the cloth cloth that the Tarsiyim use, that the coppersmiths use, which is always warm, and he wrapped the bird in it. Gidlo knafayim achronim yosim in arishonim, and that kept it warm enough until the wings grew back better than they ever were before. So he said, you see, Rabbi Yehuda's wrong, that even if these feathers are missing, the bird is able to have a refuah. Says Gemara, Dilma Ksav Rabbi Yehuda, Trefa Mashbachas. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda holds that a Trefa is able to have an improvement. Same came, B'midi D'mitzvah Ba, Higdila Kanafaya Achronim Yosem and Arishonim. So the Gemara says, no, it can't be, because the very Aver that it became a Trefa with, you're going to say it got better than it was before? Whenever you say a Trefa is able to be Mashbiach, it means in the other Avarim, that even though it has this one Trefa, the other Evarim could look like they're thriving and could look like they're doing better. But no one would hold that Trefa Mashbachas mamish in that Aver itself. And that's why Reb Shimon ben Chalafta's Raya was a Raya, that against Rabbi Yehuda. My Askan B'Dvarim, what does it mean that he was an Askan B'Dvarim? Why would Reb Shimon ben Chalafta be called that? So I'm Rabbi Mishar Shiduchsiv, because the Pasuk says, the pasuk says in Mishlei, look at the lazy person, look at the ant, and you're going to see the ways of the ant, and you'll become wiser. You'll see how not to be lazy. Asher ein la katzin shoter moshel, tachin b'kayitz lachma, that even though there's no taskmaster over the ant, it's still preparing all summer long its food in order to be able to have it later on. So Shlomo HaMelech is telling a lazy person, don't be lazy. You want it, you want some inspiration. Look at how an ant lives its life. So Amar, so Reb Shimon Chalafta saw that pasuk. He said, let's see, is that really true? Is it true that an ant doesn't have a taskmaster, that an ant doesn't have a king that has any expectations of it to see what it's doing? So Azul B'tkufas Tamos, he went during the summer months when it was really hot outside, and he made a shady area over an ant hole where all the ants live, so, and he knows that the ants really like the shade, so they'll come out if it's shady. Now one ant came out, isnach be simana, and he marked that ant so he'd be able to see which ant it was that came out. All amaluhu nafaltula. That ant went back into the ant hole, told all of his buddies, it's shady out, we can go out, we can enjoy the nice cool breeze. Nafguva asu, the entire army of ants come out, dalya leglime, and Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta removes the shade. He had made the shady area, he removes the shade, and now it's all sunny. Nafal shimsha, it became very sunny, and the ants don't like that. Nafal alevikatli. So all the other ants teamed up against the one ant that told them to come out and killed him, because they said that ant is a liar, and they killed him. So Amar Shmamina Leslu Malka. Ah, Shlomo Melech was right. There's no Melech by the ants. The Islu Hamana de Malka Lolibo. Because if they had a Melech, then they would have had to ask Rishus from the Melech. They would not have been allowed to just go and kill an ant on their own. So Amar Ravacha Breid Rav Ravashi. So Ravacha says, I'm not so sure that that's such a great Raya. Vidilma Malka have a badayu. Maybe they did have a Melech, and the Melech was one of the ones that was involved in the killing. So the rest of them all joined in because they were following the Melech's lead. Inami Hamana de Malka have a Nikita. Or maybe they did get rishus from the Melech, that meaning maybe the Melech had already laid down a law previously that if any ant tells a lie, then you should kill it, and that was the law amongst the ants. Inami bein Malka leMalka hava, or maybe it was a period of time in between where the previous Melech had died and they had not yet appointed a new Melech, and therefore everything was chaotic because they were in this in between period of time. Dechsev, because the pasuk says beyom meim ein Melech biYisrael isha yosha bein Avyasa. Pasuk at the end of Sefer Shoftim. It's not one pasuk at the end of Sefer Shoftim. It happens. The pasuk repeats itself over and over again at the end of Sefer Shoftim when it tells the story of Pilegesh Begiva and Pesel Micha and these ridiculous stories that. How does such a thing happen in a normal society? The pasuk reminds us, yeah, these crazy things happen because ein melech bi Yisrael. That's what happens to a people that don't have a melech. So the Gemara is saying maybe in the ant world also, in a period of time where they don't have a melech, it was chaos. So they were going and they were killing this ant. Ella samach amnusa de Shlomo. So rather, you we have to be somech on Shlomo HaMelech in his Ruach HaKodesh that he knew what he was talking about. We can't be going and being bodek everything that that Shlomo HaMelech told us. So the Marsha writes that Tosfos rather over here raises the question that in Masechta Basra, anyone who questioned our traditions is considered, someone questioned Rabbi Yochanan's traditions, and he was considered Malagleg al Divrei Chachamim. They turned him into a Netziv Shel Melech. You're not allowed to be Malagleg al Divrei Chachamim. And yet over here, Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta was Malagleg al Shlomo HaMelech. He questioned whether Shlomo HaMelech was correct. He was testing whether Shlomo HaMelech was correct. So Tosfos suggests that no, he was just trying to show how Shlomo knew it. He was trying to conduct an experiment to say, oh, this must have been the experiment, but he wasn't trying to say that Shlomo HaMelech was incorrect. Adrabi, he was trying to show where he knew it from. So the Marsha just says that that's very dachuk, because Shlomo knew it from Ruach HaKodesh. It wasn't from Nisayon. So the Marsha says that it's not called Malagleg al Divrei Chachamim, because even though you know something about Kabbalah, everyone is still supposed to try to demonstrate that it's true. And that's in general the way that one is supposed to approach learning, that we have certain Kabbalahs from our Rebbeim, and we're supposed to accept them, but we're not supposed to just accept them blindly. We're supposed to analyze and look and try to come to our own understanding. Wherever our understanding falls short, that's where Emunas Chachamim kicks in. That's where we have to believe in what the Chachamim taught us. Okay, we'll stop there, and Be'ez Hashem will pick up with Amar Rav Huna tomorrow.